Last week we had a Regions Beyond Leaders conference in Pune. We had pastors and leaders from Jalandhar, Chandigarh, Mumbai, Nasik, Pune, different parts of UP, all congregated in Pune, and it was a fantastic time. But I really want to commend and honor our Word of Grace Church team that organized everything and made it happen. So I would like you all to stand up. All those who served at Sharpen, please stand up. Yeah? Yeah. Alex and Donetti are not here, but they also did a fabulous job helping 80 people settle into their rooms and everything else. So do I have everybody up here? Where's Lasia? Yeah? Lasia? Chris, where are you? Chris is on the phone. Okay, Chris as well. Now, I just want to say that these people worked so hard. Okay, the people from elsewhere just had to come and everything was ready, you know. And our worship band did an amazing job. People were so blessed with the worship. With, you know, thank you, Navaz and Lasia, Andrew and Austin. That was such a blessing. And Navaz and myself, we both shared a word each, preached a message. You know, people were raving about Navaz. Give her a big hand for that. She shared on worship. And that was a breakthrough for us. It was the first time in India we've had a woman preach and teach at a leaders' conference like that. So that was well received. But I want to thank the Word of Grace team. Thank you so much. Alex and Chris helped with their big cars to move the stuff from Ashirvad Hall back and forth. And, you know, Lasia involved all the registrations and the accommodations and each one who served. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of them. Give them a rousing. This morning, as Lasia mentioned, we have Gurmeet with us. Now, I've known Gurmeet, I don't know, 25 plus years. Okay? And so Gurmeet, we knew one another in Mumbai, part of the same church. And Gurmeet has since been planted out. He went off to Jalandhar in Punjab, where he planted a church. And then once that church was established, he went off to Chandigarh, where he now lives and is working on the church there, and has also started something in Amritsar. So praise God, church planting initiatives are happening there. And he's also Johan's father. You know, we all know Johan. He's Johan's dad. So we know Gurmeet and Sushma. And if you remember, we were praying for their son, Raunak, who had the seizures and had to go through MRIs and everything. But it's wonderful to have Gurmeet with us here. Let's give him a warm welcome. He leads Tri-City Asha Church in Chandigarh. Let's give him a warm welcome. Gurmeet, it's great to have you as you bring us the word.
Hello. Yeah, thank you very much for the lovely welcome. I think it's been 15 years since I waited to be here when Colin and Navaz moved. 15 years, isn't it, since you all moved? And I always, you know, desired to come and see what they were doing, be here, but never really got the chance. So it was really, it's really nice I could be here. And Johan was here. Thank you for looking after him, all of you. He's looking very well. He's put on weight. I think many of you are feeding him very well. Every time I call, he says, I am at this auntie's place, and she's giving me some very delicious food. So thank you very much. My name is Gurmeet, as you know now. And married to Sushma, and we have two boys. Johan is here, Ronak is younger. Thank you for praying for Ronak. He's much better, and he's absolutely fine now, actually. There is no problem with him. He's going to school, and he's totally fine. And we are trusting God that nothing else will happen to him. Thank you very much. We had a wonderful conference, I am a little unwell, so if I cough a bit in the middle, don't get distracted, just concentrate. I was doing my reading some time back, and some things came out of my reading, and I'm going to share from that. How many of you like the character called Abraham in the Bible? Do you like Abraham? Yeah, I don't think any Christian wouldn't like Abraham, because he is really a father of our faith, and he's a wonderful man of God who did amazing things. So when you think of Abraham, what do you remember? Anybody, you know, just shout out. What do you remember when you think of Abraham? What's the thing that comes to your mind? Sorry? He obeyed God. He was a man of obedience. He just heard God and he obeyed God. Anything else you remember? He was father of many nations. God said, you will be a father of many nations. Anything else? He was a friend of God. He was called a friend of God. He walked with God. God walked with him. God was his friend. They fellowshiped together. Anything else you remember? Very good. God made a covenant with him. Fantastic. Yes. Yeah. So he believed in God. Yes. Whatever God said, he just believed in God. Any incident comes to your mind? Isaac, that's right. Okay. And that's the biggest obedience, isn't it? You know, God giving him the son in his old age, and God says, sacrifice your son. God was testing him, and he just took his son, and of course God didn't want Isaac as a sacrifice. God was testing him, but that was amazing. Abraham could have said, you know, God, thank you very much, I've got my son, I don't need you now, and I don't want to sacrifice him. But he knew his God and he was willing to do that. I'm going to share something probably very few people may have shared from, but since it came out of my reading, I just got some points from that. An incident from Abraham's life, and we will just draw a few things from there. So let's turn with me, if you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23, and this is the time when Sarah, Abraham's wife, dies. So Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my lord, you are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land. And he said to them, if you're willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of the field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Now Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites of all who went in the gate of the city. No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron, in the hearing of the people of the land, but if you will hear me, I give you the price of the field accepted from me, that I may bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, my lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephron in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place for by the Hittites. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for everything, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the wonderful time of worship we've had, Lord. Thank you that you're here with us, Lord. You are with us, Lord. When we call, you're there every time. And we want to thank you for your precious word, Lord. We love your word. Thank you so much for this precious word that you have given us. And as we look into this word, we ask you to come and help us, Holy Spirit. I pray for myself. Please help me, Lord, to serve your people better and well. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters, that they will be able to hear you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so here is a very, Abraham is grieving because he's lost his dear wife. His wife who was with him when God spoke to Abraham, go, leave the land of Haran, so he left. So she was always with him. She stood by him, and she has lived with him. And she was, for a long, long time. I think they were probably married for something like, I don't know if I put it somewhere, but they were married for a long, long time. And so, when you're married long time, anybody here married for 25 years? Any couple? Colin and Nawaz. Anybody married for more than that? 40 years? 30 years? Okay, very good. So by the time, some people say, by the time a couple grows old, they become so much like each other that they also almost start looking also like each other. Have you heard about that? And they almost start resembling each other. And you got used to it. And my wife was with me, Sushma was with me, and she's left on Friday because our youngest son is still back home. She couldn't stay back. And I'm so used to her. We've been married now for nearly for 20 years. And I miss her, If it is 2 or 3 days, I miss her. I just miss her. I mean, I get wherever I go, people serve me. But I miss her. I miss her voice. So you get used to it. So Abraham is missing Sarah. Sarah is dead, and he's grieving, and he's into this difficult time. But in his whole life, he's lived in this land of Canaan. Abraham has not bought any piece of property here. He's lived in tents. He's moved wherever God told him to move. God has blessed him. He's got lots of sheep and cattle and servants, and he's a blessed man, but he never bothered to buy any property. But at the end now, he's got a son. His son has grown up. Why does he want to buy a piece of property to bury his wife? And it looks like he wants the best property. So he's chosen it, a good field with a cave. And he's willing to pay the price of that property. He's not bargaining about it. Why does he want to buy now this piece of land? We could say because he loves his wife. And I think, yes, he did love his wife. But I think there is more reason. That's not the only reason. There is probably more reason than him loving his wife. We will look at these questions. Just keep these questions in your mind. But before that, we'll just look at a couple of things that we read about Abraham here. So Abraham is here. He's gathered all the, you know, the elders have come. The people have come to mourn with him for his wife, Sarah. So the first thing that struck me while I was doing the reading was that they address Abraham. Now I deliberately chose to read from ESV. In the ESV version, they address him as the Prince of God. So they say, Abraham, you are a prince of God among us. So he says, I am a foreigner among you. I am a sojourner. I've come from other place. And I have lived among you all my life. And now I need your help. But they seem to have a very high regard for Abraham. And they're calling him Prince of God. Why are they calling him Prince of God? I'm sure they must have witnessed some things in Abraham's life there. They must have heard about how God rescued Abraham from Pharaoh, even though Abraham had messed it up by saying, Sarah is my sister. And yet God had, you know, and Pharaoh said, please go away. And so they must have, you know, people must be talking. You know, what happened? Why did Pharaoh just let him go? And let him go with all this, you know, wealth and sheep and cattle and what was it? And people must have said, his God is a great God. He believes in a big God. His God is with him and he's a man of God. His God loves him. And they must have heard about how Abraham went to rescue his nephew Lot, and he fought against three kings, it says, the Bible says, and he was victorious. Okay, so he defeated the kings, he rescued his nephew, and then again people would have said, you know, who is this Abraham, you know? And, you know, these three kings defeated. But who defeated? Abraham defeated with his men, with his army. But who is this Abraham? Is he a king somewhere? Is he a king? He's king of which nation, which country? And they would say, no, he's not a king. He lives here. In fact, he doesn't even belong here. He's come from somewhere else and he's living here in Canaan. And they must say, why? And the people must have said, you know, because he belongs to some God, you know, some God. He believes in a great God. And this God is with him. And I think people must have started looking up to him, saying, he is an extraordinary man. He's not a common man. He's not a normal man. There is something different about Abraham. And they were regarding him very highly. I'm sure some of the people may have, you know, invited him to some worship, or, you know, Abraham and Sarah, you know, in our cultures, in Asian cultures, people invite neighbors, and Abraham must have refused, and Sarah must have refused. They must have refused, saying, you know, no, we don't worship, you know, we want to relate with you, but we don't want to participate, because we believe in a living God. We believe in this great God who has called us, who has created us. So they stood for their values. They must have stood, and people must have said, yeah, he's a different man. So Abraham had a reputation. He stood out in that society, although he was a foreigner. And God had blessed him, and they saw this. God was protecting him. God had blessed him. God was giving him victories. And it almost looks like there was a bit of a fear in those people against touching Abraham. You know, he's a foreigner. They could have said, you know, chase him away. But, you know, if you read the whole story, you would feel, you know, they had a certain fear. You know, God is with this man, Abraham. So that was the reputation of Abraham. And we just 3 months back moved into a new house. You know, we changed house. We moved from one area to another. So we moved into this flat. So the owner of this flat, a retired professor from a college, very religious Hindu man, and highly learned, but very, very religious man. So first he spoke to me on the phone. The broker made him speak to me on the phone, and then he said, no, I want to meet you. So I went and met with him, and we had a chat for 10 minutes. And in the end, he told me this, which was like music to my ears. He said, I know very few Christians in my life. And he said, generally, I don't give my, you know, rent out my flat easily to people. But he said, because you are a Christian, I want to give it to you. I just feel I want to give it to you. And when he said that, you know, I was so happy. I was so happy. He said, I know only few Christians. I've come across only few Christians in my life. But each one of them, I've had good experiences. I could trust them. They're good people. They're people of values. And he was talking, you know. He said, Christians are people you can trust. They don't lie. They don't cheat. They are good people. And when I was listening, I said, here is this man with all these rings and threads all over him. But he's got this experience. He's got something to talk about Christians. And he's saying, they are people I can trust. They are good people. They are people of God. And I was saying, wow, this is good. You know? And I want to ask you one question. What do people say about you? What do people talk about you? How do people remember you? You know? Are you someone who stands for God everywhere you go? In your offices, in your workplace, if you're studying in your school or college, or wherever you are, amongst friends? Are you a person while you're living with them, but yet you are not completely mixed up with them, or you are standing for your God and saying, no, I belong to this God? Are you someone who's fighting battles that God has called you to fight? And so others are able to see and say, yes, he is victorious because his God is a victorious God. That's very important. Not only individually, but as a church, we can have a reputation among society. Isn't it? Because we are the body of Christ. We are God's presence in the city. So the word of grace is God's presence in the city of Pune. And we must believe that the city of Pune will be able to say, these people, they are different. We want them because they have a great God. And they are the people of God. They are the royal people of God. So we must have a reputation. Hallelujah. And the second thing about Abraham, before we get back to those questions, is although he was prosperous, he was great, and he knew that people were, you know, looking up to him, yet he was, you know, you see a humility. He was humble. He's bowing down to them. And he's, you know, the elders are sitting, he's bowing down, and he's asking for this piece of land. You know, he's saying, you know, my wife is dead. Would you allow me? Would you give me a piece of land? I want to bury my wife. So he's so humble. He's not, you know, according to the culture, he's not directly going to the owner of the land. You know, he's not going directly, but he's contacting the elders. If you read there, it looks like the owner is sitting there, but he's not directly contacting him. He's actually honoring the elders, and he's talking to the elders and saying, you know, would you be, you know, like my mediators? I want this land. I want you to be the witness. This is the culture, and I'm the tradition, so I want to honor them. So Abraham honored the authorities, the people, the elders, and we know that Jesus in the Bible taught us to respect our authorities. So Peter went, caught the fish. There was a gold coin in the fish. Give to Caesar what is Caesar. Give to God what is God. We need to honor our government. We need to honor our authorities. Paul says to, when you come together, pray for those in authority. We must pray for those in authority. We must honor them. They are there because God has put them there. You know, they may not be our choice, but at the moment, looks like they are God's choice and there is a purpose. And we need to honor our authorities. Okay? I don't think I need to talk about paying taxes and all. Colin must have definitely done it. But we honor God when we honor our authorities. Yes? So Abraham had a great reputation. He was known as the Prince of God. And he was yet a man who was humble, and he respected the authorities. And now coming to the question, why did he want to buy this expensive piece of land? And looks like this man Ephron is quoting a very high price. I was going through some commentaries to look at it, because I didn't understand these silver and all that. And most of the commentators, they are suggesting that he was actually quoting a very high price. You know, he was not just giving any concession to Abraham. He was quoting a very high price. He was offering it at a very high price. But Abraham is not bargaining. He's not saying, no, can you, would you like to, I can't. No, Abraham, even before he says the price, Abraham says, whatever the price is, I will pay. It looks like buying this land, the purchase of this land, is so important for Abraham. There is some significance to it. Okay? I believe Abraham remembered, some of you said, he had the covenant of God, he had the promises of God, and God had given him a vision. God had spoken to him that you will be father of many nations. Your descendants will be like the stars of the sky and the sand on the sea. And God had also spoken to Abraham that your descendants will possess this land. Okay, you are a foreigner, but your descendants will possess this land. And Abraham believed God. Although he's like very old, his wife is gone. I don't understand what this is happening. When my hand touches, okay. So he's towards the end, but yet, even when he's grieving for his wife, the promises of God and what God has spoken to him, the vision of God, is still alive and burning inside him. Purpose him buying this piece of land. So, one is he wants to honor Sarah with a proper tomb, with a proper, you know, burial place as the mother of the future Jewish people. Because God said, you know, your descendants will be great through whom the Messiah will come one day. So he had seen something of God. He had understood. He wanted to. But he also wanted to, the next thing, he wanted to anchor his descendants' land of Canaan. You see, he wanted to anchor them. Because God had spoken, your generations, your future generations, I will give them this land. They will come and they will possess. So he wanted to. And then the third thing, we see here that he did a legal deal with them. You know, they were saying, just take any land you want. But he's saying, no, I don't want to take it like that. I want a legal deed done. I want it done presence of the elders. I want a proper document. Why is he saying that? So that even in future generations, even after his death, there should be no dispute. You understanding? So there should be, there are witnesses, so there should be no dispute when he will be dead and when his sons would want to bury him, when his sons will die. So it's a burial place. It belongs to Abraham and his family and his descendants. So he's doing a proper deal. God gives us visions and promises. And as time passes by, with the ups and downs of life, it is quite possible for the vision and the promises that God has given to fade away. We can allow that. But we must always remind ourselves of the promises that God, the vision that God has given us. Hallelujah. We must remember and we must keep them alive. We must keep them burning in our hearts. Often what Sushma and me, what we do is, when we pray together, we take the prophecies that have, you know, come over us. Some of the prophecies that has come over me is like 20 years back. But I've written it down. God, you have spoken. You know, I think I was just married at that time. Johan was not born also. And I had attended a conference with, who's the prophet? John Paul Jackson, yeah. So he had brought a prophecy. I mean, I was so scared. He called me up and he said, you know, he gave me. And it's still not fulfilled, but I've got it written and we pray for it. God, you have spoken. And I could say, I'm old now. I'm getting old. I've done whatever I could have done. A little bit is left. But no, the vision that God has given never dies. It continues. It gets fulfilled. You understanding? We get old. We may get tired. But we have to excite ourselves. We have to keep believing, to keep looking up and saying, God, you have given the vision and promises and they will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. So Abraham, even at this point of time, is anchoring himself and saying, God, I believe in your promises. You have spoken and my descendants will come. And there is a in the way you have chosen me and my family. So he is. So we must continue to believe God and trust God for his promises. And okay. And Abraham believed that the vision will continue even after his death. You understanding? The vision. And therefore he's buying this piece of land. The next thing is, it looks like by buying this land, Abraham is sowing generously into something that God has spoken and he believed, into this vision. He's sowing generously. He's sowing in faith. He's giving. He could have said, my son is there. I want to leave. No, no. He's sowing because he's believing God for the future generations. He's paying a big, big price. He chooses the best piece of land. And he doesn't bargain about it. This was very, very important for him. Just yesterday, day before yesterday, we were talking about mission at the conference and we were talking about William Carey. Now, William Carey, when he printed the Bibles, there was no printing press in India at that time. People only hand wrote things. There were no books, printed books. And William Carey got the printing press and he arranged everything. It must have been quite a, you know, job, quite a work for him. But why did he take all that pain to do it? I don't think he had only the people of that time in his mind. I think he had us in mind also. He had the future generations in his mind. He wanted to leave something. He wanted to leave the word of God printed in the hands of people. So as many languages, he got them the Bible translated, because he knew that the generations that will come. So he invested. I don't know how he must have got all that money collected, and he must have, you know, from where. But he had this passion. God, you have sent me to India, and the Indian people must have your word in their hands. Not only this generation, but the generation to come. So God gives us a vision, but many times we have to also take steps and sow into that vision. You know what I mean? We have to sow into the vision. Yes, God is a great God, but we have to sometimes take steps of faith. When we moved from Jalandhar to Chandigarh, we've got a good church in Jalandhar, 100 plus people, everything is doing well, the leadership team is being raised, and then we move. In Jalandhar, a nice big house, we were paying 6,000 rupees only, rent per month. Can you beat that? You know? 6,000 rupees for a bungalow of 3-bedroom and hall and kitchen and 3 bathrooms, you know, fantastic. Because Jalandhar is a small city, and now we are paying more than double that amount for the same place. And it's flat actually, so we don't have any extra space, it's just the flat. We are paying more than double the amount. Now, some people ask me, you know, you could have just stayed in Jalandhar. Why are you? Because it's your income is the same and you're paying double this amount. Why are you? You know, it doesn't make sense. But I say, God has the vision for the north of India. And God has led us to move to Chandigarh. And I know that God is about to do something. He is going to do something. He is going to build his church. He is going to send people. And so what we are investing in faith, believing in the promises and the vision of God, it will bear fruit. God will honor that. He will bless it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So when you're investing in the trainees, we are believing in them. We are believing. God has spoken. So it's not a waste of money. We are sowing into it. We are sowing, and it's going to become great. God is going to do something wonderful. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will call personally. He may speak something to you. So we believe the vision, but God may speak to you personally to sow into that vision. It may be a sacrifice. It may be difficult. But will you say, God, I believe, but I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to part with this. I'm going to let go. I am willing to sow into, because I believe in your words. I'm willing to take this step of faith. Sometimes as a church, God will call you. You know, and I've heard so many times from Colin that you all are great givers. Isn't it? Isn't that true? The Word of Grace Church is very good with giving. You know, your offering is fantastic. You all are great. Very good. Well done. God will call us. And just keep believing in the promises of God. It's been 15 years. But the vision is going to grow. And as God calls you to take these steps and to sow into the vision, just keep believing and moving and trusting God. You know, in Hebrew it says, Hebrew 11, Abraham was not just living here on this earth and just for that piece of land. He bought the piece of land, but he had a different vision that God had given. Hebrew 11 says that Abraham looked at the city whose architect and builder is God. Hallelujah. So Abraham saw in faith. God showed him, and he was looking. Probably, I don't know whether he could explain it to anyone, but he knew it. It was burning inside him. So although he was getting older, he had it. So he was believing in the promises of God. He was willing to pay the cost. He was willing to do it. Talking to Jeevan and Raki, they moved to Hyderabad. Promises of God are there. God will speak. You have to believe. But God will also ask you, will you be willing to sow some time? Will you be able to move and go there? And they are talking about starting an outreach in a mall. Very good. Well done. And God will honor that. And amazing things He will do. Yes? So let's be like our father Abraham, who had a great reputation. He was known as the Prince of Peace amongst the people that he lived. And yet he was humble, he respected the authorities, and he continued to believe in the promises of God, in the vision that God has given. Not, I'm sorry about this, I don't know why this is happening, but he just continued to believe, he just continued to believe. He did not let go, he did not let the vision get blurred or fade away, and he sowed generously into the vision. He took steps of faith. He said, yes, God has spoken and this will happen. I am willing to do this. I'm willing to do it. Hallelujah. So God bless you. Thank you very much.